Chapter 26. A spire of water shot 20 feet in the air. Langdon watched it fall gently back to earth and knew they were getting close. They had reached the end of La Cecchiata's leafy tunnel and dashed across an open lawn into a grove of cork trees. Now they were looking out at the Boboli's most famous spouting fountain, Stoldo Lorenzi's bronze of Neptune, clutching his three-pronged trident. Irreverently known by locals as the Fountain of the Fork, this water feature was considered the central point of the gardens. Sienna stopped at the edge of the grove and peered upward through the trees.
I don't see the drone.
Langdon no longer heard it either, and yet the fountain was quite loud.
Must have needed to refuel, Sienna said. This is our chance. Which way?
Langdon led her to the left, and they began descending a steep incline. As they emerged from the trees, the Pitti Palace came into view.
Nice little house, Sienna whispered.
Typical Medici understatement, he replied wryly. Still almost a quarter mile away, the Pitti Palace's stone facade dominated the landscape, stretching out to their left and right. Its exterior of bulging, rusticated stonework lent the building an air of unyielding authority that was further accentuated by a powerful repetition of shuttered windows and arch-topped apertures. Traditionally, formal palaces were situated on high ground, so that anyone in the gardens had to look uphill at the building. The Pitti Palace, however, was situated in a low valley near the Arno River, meaning that people in the bubbly gardens looked downhill at the palace. This effect was only more dramatic. One architect had described the palace as appearing to have been built by nature herself, as if the massive stones in a landslide had tumbled down the long escarpment and landed in an elegant, barricade-like pile at the bottom. Despite its less defensible position in the low ground, the solid stone structure of the Pitti Palace was so imposing that Napoleon had once used it as a power base while in Florence.
Look, Sienna said, pointing to the nearest doors of the palace. Good news.
Langdon had seen it too. On this strange morning, the most welcome sight was not the palace itself, but the tourists streaming out of the building into the lower gardens. The palace was open, which meant that Langdon and Sienna would have no trouble slipping inside and passing through the building to escape the gardens. Once outside the palace, Langdon knew they would see the Arno River to their right, and beyond that, the spires of the old city. He and Sienna kept moving, half jogging now, down the steep embankment. As they descended, they traversed the bubbly amphitheater, the site of the very first opera performance in history, which lay nestled like a horseshoe on the side of a hill. Beyond that, they passed the obelisk of Ramses II and the unfortunate piece of art that was positioned at its base. The guidebooks referred to the piece as a colossal stone basin from Rome's baths of Caracalla. But Langdon always saw it for what it truly was, the world's largest bathtub. They really need to put that thing somewhere else. They finally reached the rear of the palace and slowed to a calm walk, mixing inconspicuously with the first tourists of the day. Moving against the tide, they descended a narrow tunnel into the cortile, an inner courtyard where visitors were seated enjoying a morning espresso in the palace's makeshift cafe. The smell of fresh ground coffee filled the air, and Langdon felt a sudden longing to sit down and enjoy a civilized breakfast. Today's not the day, he thought as they pressed on, entering the wide stone passageway that led toward the palace's main doors. As they neared the doorway, Langdon and Sienna collided with a growing bottleneck of stalled tourists who seemed to be assembling in the portico to observe something outside. Langdon peered through the crowd to the area in front of the palace. The Pitti's grand entrance was as blunt and unwelcoming as he recalled it. Rather than a manicured lawn and landscaping, the front yard was a vast expanse of pavement that stretched across an entire hillside, flowing down to the Via dei Guicciardini, like a massive paved ski slope. At the bottom of the hill, Langdon now saw the reason for the crowd of onlookers. Down in Piazza dei Pitti,
A half dozen police cars had streamed in from all directions. A small army of officers were advancing up the hill, unholstering their weapons and fanning out to secure the front of the palace.